For this purpose, he will use standard hypnotic procedures such as, for example, quoting, "You are feeling heavy and sinking into your chair. Now imagine that you feel light and buoyant as though you're rising out of it," unquote. Or like this, quote, "All right, and now you are fully relaxed," unquote. He is suggesting a state to you. It is not his duty or his right to control your mind. You came to church for scriptural truth, not for all that. And then he will instruct you in the importance of imagery. Imagery in drawing closer to God. He will tell you that you are about to enter such an experience. And then he will tell you of a picture for your imagination to focus upon. A picture for you to visualize. To begin with, he will probably instruct you to visualize an incident in the life of Christ. That sounds harmless, doesn't it? In a later practice session, he may ask you to imagine a faraway place, such as a tropical island. Or, significantly, he will suggest that you imagine an event in your early childhood. Now, that's standard procedure. Psychologists regularly do it. They get you to imagine, recall events in your early childhood, and then they place within you, or frankly, Satan works through them to place within you, implanted memories that never were there of things that happened in your childhood, and it causes troubles. By now, the kingly power of reason and judgment is in abeyance, and you are in a half-dreaming state if you are going along with that man. As the speaker drones on in soft, slow words about what you are seeing as you stand beside the Sea of Galilee and view Jesus speaking to his disciples, as the lap of the water strikes against their beached boats, he will assure you that you have drawn closer to Christ by doing this. And that you should regularly do this at a set time each day. He will also instruct you to keep a journal in which you will daily write your imaginings. Can you imagine such a thing? The name for it is journal. That's what they call it, journal. You are to write your daily imaginings in that journal. And you are supposed to set aside a certain amount of time each day for, quote-unquote, meditation, during which you are to imagine pictures. Then you're to write them down. This, he says, will aid you in deepening your meditations. Can you imagine such a thing? We are to take the Word of God. We are to open it. We are to read God's Word, connect with God through His Word and through prayer. That's to be our meditation, my friend. Not pictures and imaginings. Interestingly enough, the speaker will have little to say about putting away of sin. Little to say about obeying the laws of God. Little to say about making the needed changes in your life. Raising your standards or studying the testimonies. He won't tell you much about that. Instead, you'll be told that the pathway to deeper holiness lies in what he calls meditation, which amounts to imagining yourself to be somewhere else and calling that deeper holiness. A little discreet inquiry afterward may elicit the fact that your pastor recently attended a conference-sponsored ministerial retreat conducted by Dr. William Lovelace, a Southern California pastor. Beware, my friend, beware. Quote, "Satan can present a counterfeit so closely resembling the truth that it deceives those who are willing to be deceived, who desire to shun the self-denial and sacrifice demanded by the truth. But it is impossible for him to hold under his power one soul who honestly desires at whatever cost to know the truth." Great Controversy 5:28. People call their meditations and falsehoods the gospel, and then work with demons to convert men to them. Side by side with the preaching of the gospel agencies are at work which are but the medium of lying spirits. Many a man tampers with these merely from curiosity, but seeing evidence of the working of a more than human power, he is lured on and on until he is controlled by a will stronger than his own. He cannot escape from its mysterious power. And continuing on with the statement, the defenses of the soul are broken down. He has no barrier against sin. When once the restraints of God's word and his spirit are rejected, no man knows to what depths of degradation he may sink. Desire of Ages, 258. That was written in 1898. You notice how frequently the statements were penned between 1895 and 1905? Repeatedly we find that. Part 4. How to avoid being hypnotized. Well, now you have a much better idea of how the hypnotist will try to catch you and your loved ones. But we've not yet discussed how to avoid being hypnotized. I should mention here that in what I have told you this evening, I have been careful not to mention too much about the explicit details of how to hypnotize. That was done purposely. But more important, however, is what you should do to make sure you're not hypnotized. So first, let me tell you some of the basic rules of defense. First, only go where truth is taught. If you have reason to believe that someone is teaching error, you really should not be there. And your loved ones should not be there either. If someone wants to come to your home and present some new theories, or if you are invited to a friend's house to hear a speaker, should you go? The question to ask yourself is this: will truth be taught at that meeting? If it is, then you are safe. But what is truth? Pilate asked that same question, but did not wait for an answer. I will tell you now what truth is. It is information which exactly mirrors the beliefs, standards, and objectives given in the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy. Only in those books can you find exact truth, nowhere else. A man who is in the truth loves the truth, speaks the truth, directs you to the source of truth, not to himself. And he will not be trying to practice hypnosis on you. So the safest sources to go to for the facts you need to be saved and weather the storm ahead is to go directly for yourself to the Bible and to the Spirit of Prophecy. Thank God we know what to do. Satan can only reach you through the avenues of your soul. In this study, we have focused on the two primary avenues, what you see and what you hear. Guard those two avenues to the soul. Be careful what you read. Be careful what you listen to or view. There are several basic types of reading or viewing material. So, let's consider them for a moment. First, there is the Word of God. There's Scripture, the Bible, Spirit of Prophecy. Second, there are facts in the world around you. Third, there are theories. Fourth, there is fiction. Now, as far as fiction goes, having nothing to do with it, and add to that all the cheap, exciting stories that are available. Frankly, beware of reading too many exciting true stories. Such stories only whet your appetite for more excitement. This prepares you to accept a cultist when he arrives. Why? Because that cultist always seems exciting at first. Don't live for excitement. This is because Satan places an aura of excitement on the minds of those willing to consider what his servants have to present to them. So, my friend, don't live for excitement. Don't live to always hear some new thing. Then there are the theories. Value Scripture more than theories. Frankly, if you would avoid being deceived, you must learn to love reading the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy more than you love reading or listening to new theories. Be honest with yourself. What are you preparing yourself for? Are you fortifying your mind with truth and preparing for heaven? Or are you always chasing after some new theory that comes along? You know, the Athenians did that, Acts 17. They always lived to hear some new thing. But that is not safe. If we do that, we are preparing ourselves for a possible eventual capture.